Stuff is hard because it's hard, not because you're screwing it up, not because you're doing it wrong, not because you're a failure. And that's really, I think, important for all parents to hear, right? Your kid's not hitting you because they're a bad kid or you failed as a parent. Sometimes kids hit.
Hey, Mama, welcome to the Balanced Mom Method podcast, a safe space to help you transform the way that you approach motherhood and life. If you're a mom struggling with self-worth, overwhelmed with overstimulation, looking to slow down, conquer mom guilt, let go of external pressures, or even embark on a spiritual awakening, you are in the right place. Let's break free from that survival mode cycle by waking up from autopilot and authentically embracing our inner self-love, trust, and connection. Imagine if every single part of your life was perceived through a lens of expansion, value, worthiness, self-awareness, and acceptance. Hey, I'm Jenna, and I've been where you are. I was consumed in the struggles of motherhood and was always in my own head, never feeling good enough. I realized if I wanted to make a change, it started within me. And in finding that freedom, I've dedicated my life's work to helping other moms heal from the inside out to come back home to themselves too. So take my hand, Mama. Let's set the foundation to live an intentional life full of peace, presence, confidence, clarity, belief, joy, love, and balance. If you are ready to weed the fluff, get to the root of cultivating real change, and feel connected to yourself on a love-rooted level, let's dive in and discover the power within you. Warm up that cold coffee, pop in your earbuds, and tighten that top knot, Mama. Let's overcome together. Hello, beautiful mamas, and welcome back to another episode of the Balanced Mom Method podcast. I am your host and intuitive life mentor, welcoming you and a remarkable guest joining us today, a clinical psychologist certified in perinatal mental health and also an IFC certified executive coach, Anne Welsh. Anne embarked on a very courageous journey of leaving her dream career at Harvard to open her own practice with a special focus on supporting moms in all areas of their lives. In addition to her profession, she is a mom of four herself, so she's able to use her personal experiences as a mom, her own academic, her research, and all of her expertise onto that transition into motherhood and career development, along with her 15 years of clinical practice to help moms feel less anxious, less guilty, and less alone. We can all use some of that. So together with her clients, she is able to do what works for them to uncover their internal values and really get to that internal compass, assisting them in building a life that feels good to them. So we are thrilled to have her here today to discuss the art of dropping the ball and the keys to surviving as a working parent. So Anne, I want to pass over the mic to you to share a little bit more about yourself and your mission.
Sure. Well, a little background, you know, So I should say I had a working mom, and I think like most kids, you kind of look at your mom and think, well, they have it all figured out. They're doing this and you kind of want to be like them. So my mom was a doctor. This was in the 80s when there weren't that many mom doctors at the time. And I thought I'm going to do the same thing. I wanted to be a doctor as well. I ended up, you know, I did a lot of science, but I ended up taking a little bit of a pivot and becoming the other kind of doctor, if you will, like getting my my PhD in psychology. And my research from the beginning kind of was two different lines. I was looking at career development and like how people pick their jobs and their calling and what that process is like. And then I was also looking at the transition to motherhood. And part of what drew me to that at the time was simply that it was really understudied. So there was a lot of room for new research. And I really like transition points. Like, how do people navigate through new things in their lives? But all of that research was prior to me having kids and being a working parent. And even with all that research background, I was still pretty blown away by the reaction that I had to having a kid and to trying to figure out this working mother thing. And do I even want to work anymore? And what would that mean if I didn't? It really kind of threw me for a loop in an unexpected way, despite having all this background. Mm-hmm. But I ended up continuing to work as a therapist. I was at Harvard doing kind of academic health, and it had been my dream job. It had been the job that I had been working for all along. And I really enjoyed working with the students, but I now have four kids, but I had my second while I was still at Harvard. And I just got to a point where I thought, this is not fitting. I can't do this job the way I want to and be a mom the way I want to, and something's got to give. Mm-hmm. And so I left to start my own practice. And over the kind of next couple of years, I made a shift. I got certified in perinatal mental health. And I really started focusing on supporting mothers in all sorts of ways. And then even in that practice, just doing therapy with mothers, I started again to say, there's something more I can do. What else can I do to help? If I struggled to figure this out with a great role model of a working mom, and I'm have all this research background and am a therapist and all the support, and it's hard for me, there's got to be more I can do to offer other mothers coming through this process. And so I also started doing executive coaching and consulting to help from the work perspective. So that allows me to access moms at all sorts of different places in their growth and in their transition.
Mm-hmm. There's so much depth in here, because it's like, I want to take the business route and ask you questions, but the mom, like becoming a mom in the most beautiful way, it changes so much. And I mean, that's so cliche mm-hmm. to say, but just your perspectives, your, like what you said, like, do I really want to be the dream job that I wanted? Is this what I want now? Then now that you, it almost opens your eyes a little bit. And yeah, that's, and I feel like when you said, so I opened my own practice, I'm like, isn't that more intense? Isn't that more? that's incredible. That is, I'm so excited to dive in with you and talk more. And the concept that I am so intrigued is how to drop the ball. When we were kind of talking about this prior to hopping on here, I'm like, how to drop the ball? This is going to be a good topic. So can you kind of explain what you mean by that and how you can help working parents navigate those challenges?
Yeah. You know, I think we get in, especially those of us that are maybe like high achievers, we think that we have to do everything. We think we have to do everything by ourselves. And the problem is that the models we have for what being a quote good mother or a good employee or a good leader look like are all faulty. Mm-hmm. And we definitely can't be perfect at all of those things at once. And if we try, we're gonna burn out pretty mm-hmm. quickly. Mm-hmm. And I can kind of raise my hand and say, I was there, right? I didn't get enough help. I did not get enough childcare when I was starting my own business. I did not get enough support from other people to help with the kids. I didn't ask for enough help to grow the business. And I hit a place of feeling pretty burnt out on it and unhappy and anxious. Like that's how it showed up for me. Mm-hmm. And it was only once I said, hey, I can't do everything and I need to put some of this down, either hand it off to someone else or just decide that it's not important enough to do right now in this season. Because it was only once I put those things down that I was able to enjoy what I was doing mm-hmm. And enjoy all the pieces of my life that happened to have work and mothering in it. Mm-hmm. But I think that's true whether you're a working parent or not, right? It's like you become a parent and your to-do list never ends. Mm-hmm. The laundry never ends. The child stuff never ends. There is never an end to the need. And so you have to learn to prioritize and you have to learn to rest when the to-do list isn't completed. Mm-hmm. And essentially you have to say, learn to say, no, I'm not going to do that and tolerate it not being done. Mm-hmm. I think which is really hard for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm. And something for me, I'm going to call myself out here. It's that asking for help, because I might ask for it. I might voice it. And then be like, no, I got it.
Yes,
and exactly. It, you know, it's almost like having that strength to, okay, I said it, just leave it now. Be quiet now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
in your experience, kind of what are, just to kind of relate to our listeners here, what are the five most common struggles that you hear, like from working moms, let's say, as they come to you asking for help?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of common themes, right? And one is, I'm just so overwhelmed, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's what we're talking about. There's so much to do. I have so much I'm responsible for. I'm holding so many things and I feel like I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I use the analogy of, you know, you're carrying that laundry basket up the stairs and it's overfull. So the socks are falling out and there's a shirt, mm-hmm. then you trip over it and you try to pick one thing up and you drop something else while you're doing that, right? And that can be that experience. Mm-hmm. So that's a really common one. Another one is just the feeling like I'm failing, right? My motherhood, my work, my leadership doesn't look like what I see out there. And so I must be failing. Mm-hmm. People start to feel like it's hard because I'm doing it wrong, because there's something wrong with me. I haven't found the magic hack yet, and that it's my fault, as opposed to recognizing this is just hard, full stop. Another common one is feeling really alone and feeling unsupported, and not really feeling like they know how to connect with people, or make friends that get it, or that maybe they have friends but their friends aren't local, or things like that. And then the last two kind of can feel related, but one is just that I'm not happy, right? I did all this stuff. I had these kids. I wanted these kids, and I'm miserable on some level. And that can kind of go hand in hand, but not always, with I miss my old self. Like, I miss what it was like to not have kids, or I miss these pieces of myself. I don't recognize myself anymore.
That identity piece, that is huge. And I was having a talk with, I was in a session myself the other day, and she was talking about, I don't even like to identify myself as anything. She goes, yes, you know, my name is so-and-so, but she goes, yeah, I'm a mom. Yes, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. So I don't even say I'm anything. Like, I'm me. And I really like that perspective, because when we get lost in that loss of identity, it can be very challenging. And that was kind of what inspired my business, you know, four or five years ago, because when I had my son, everything, my perspectives changed. Everything changed. And I'm like, who am I? You know, like, everything that I knew before motherhood, like, my mind is just changing. Like, it was a beautiful epiphany moment. And that's what it was. Like, that identity piece was the biggest part for me.
Yeah.
And balance. And I feel like everything that you kind of shared really encompasses, like, that balance piece, the balance with the overwhelm, the to-do list, the who am I, and just kind of everything coupled into one. So do you work with, I would love your kind of what you feel balance is. Like, do you think balance exists? How do you describe balance?
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing to remember about balance, if you really think about it, is that it's not a state you achieve, right? If you think about if I'm actually balancing, right? I do a lot of yoga. I'm not, if I'm in a balancing pose, like a traditional one, I am not steady. And I'm not static. I'm moving. I'm making constant micro adjustments, right? Or if you're not a yogi person, if you're just envision walking across a tightrope, right? You're constantly kind of wiggling back and forth. That's the only way you're going to make it across. You can't stand still. And so I use that analogy to help people understand we're not looking for some, again, there's not a hack, right? There's not some magic thing you're going to find that's going to help you achieve balance. It's going to be a process of reacting and setting boundaries and limits as you move through life, right? And so once you recognize that it isn't this thing that you achieve, but more like a process, you can kind of let go of trying to be rigid and control everything to get balanced, and you can kind of embrace those shifts. And I think that some of the keys to finding that are some of the things we already talked about, right? Asking for help, setting boundaries and limits around what you can and cannot do, and picking and choosing what you do want to do, right? And recognizing that your motherhood doesn't have to look like someone else's. In fact, it shouldn't, because you are not the same two people.
Exactly. And amen to everything that you just said, because I feel like balance can exist or does exist, but not in the way that what you just said. Like, it's not a black and white answer. It's ever evolving. It's that inner feeling that you have. Like, do you feel at peace? Do you feel the sense of balance? Because we are always evolving. So do you feel the balance? And that's kind of where I feel that it does exist, because it's that inner knowing, that inner feeling. And going with what you said, because, like, think of a scale, right? I'm thinking of The Price is Right. I watched it with my son the other day, and they were playing the one, you know, you could win a car if you get the price the right way, but it was that scale, you know, so you had to put so many on, and I can't think of what that specific scale is called. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about,
but I don't know the name either.
Yeah. But it's like, it's constantly moving. And once you get them equal, it's that inner knowing, that inner feeling of, okay, I feel good, you know, releasing the overwhelm, releasing the anxieties, releasing the stress. I know I'm not doing it all at the same time, but we're good. So that's how I feel of balance.
Yeah, for sure.
So knowing oneself and understanding your personal values, your priorities, like that's very important, right? Like knowing who you are and within your parenthood and your career. And you kind of touched on this, like, cause you're not the same mom as someone else. So how can parents, moms, particularly working moms, how can we go about figuring out that those values, those priorities in our lives to kind of let go of those expectations and external pressures?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think values are kind of our guiding North Star, if you will, right? They are the thing around which we make decisions. And once we have them in place, it becomes easier to say no to things, right? Because it's, I don't value this thing, or I don't value it as much as I value this other thing, right? So it helps us with priorities. But to back up to your original question as to how we find those values, there's a lot of ways to do that. I think as moms in particular, somewhere along the line, we stop asking ourselves what we want, mm-hmm. right? I mean, motherhood is this, motherhood and martyrdom seem to be synonymous in a way that they don't have to be. So sometimes I don't even know what I want for dinner, maybe, let alone what I want out of my life. And so I encourage people to just start small, start asking yourself, what do I want? What feels good? Can I notice that? Right. So that process. But for some folks, that's really hard because we're so out of practice. So other options are, you know, there are online, you know, lists of values. And if listeners want, don't know even where to start, they can contact me and say, hey, I heard you on this podcast and you were talking about values. Can you give me some exercises? There's lists of values where you can just look at them to brainstorm, like, what are some things that are important to me and how do I want to think about them? There's even an online inventory where you can kind of answer a bunch of questions and it'll say, hey, your top values are, you know, gratitude and or family or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so there's ways to kind of brainstorm that are more tangible than mm-hmm. just asking yourself. And I think sometimes those are really good places to start because it can feel overwhelming to start from nothing and build a list from there. It can feel easier to start with some sort of list mm-hmm. and then think about, well, does that fit? Does this apply to me? And then once you know what those values are, you can start to use that in the decision-making, right? Is mm-hmm. it important to me that I show up at this thing? Yes or no? Is it okay that I'm leaning into work in this season for a period of time? Is it okay that I'm leaning out of work in this season? I mean, there's no right or wrong answers here. Mm-hmm. It's just what works for me and what I feel is important.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I feel that is so hard for us to first, like what you said, taking that stillness, taking that silent time to really connect to yourself. But then that next step is to listen to yourself and allow yourself to be honest and pull those possibly things out of the rug, or just to hear yourself, what you have to say, because I feel like so often we just quickly shove it under the rug because we're so busy. There's the to-do list is never ending. There's always so much to do for everyone else. So what you said, we can be so out of touch and out of practice with that inner connection. And it's so true. It's so true. And I feel like it's so simple, like just take 5 minutes to yourself every day, but it's very difficult. And to really find that starting point can be a challenge. So thank you. You have a secret gift of parenting. You kind of mentioned this when we were conversing back and forth. Can you kind of dive into that? What is the secret gift of parenting?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It's a way of recognizing that what we're doing in parenting is helping us as broader people and at work too, right? I think sometimes, especially when we are working parents, and that's true whether you're working 1 hour a week or 100 hours a week, it feels like I'm never going to be able to do everything that work is asking of me, that somehow, you know, again, it touches on that idea of I'm failing across the board. And I like to point out that in fact, as a parent, you are growing, and you're growing as a parent and at work, right? Mm-hmm. That these are not in fact separate silos. They are interacting environments, and you can fuel growth in one by fueling growth in the other. Mm-hmm. So when you become a parent, your brain actually changes, right? It's a huge period of neural growth because you have to take in a ton of information. Mm-hmm. So I talk about the four P's of leadership skills that we grow as parents and at work. And the first P is people skills, like empathy, communication, and things along those lines. Mm-hmm. Right. Those are those kind of soft skills we really value in leaders. Those you have to have as a parent. It just almost comes kind of naturally, or you build it as a parent. Mm-hmm. The second P is processing skills. So like being decisive, prioritizing, being adaptable, right? Like you're constantly drinking from the fire hose when you're a parent and learning a ton of new stuff. And that's actually a really good skill to have at work. The next one is productivity. So again, if you're a parent, that to-do list never ends. So you have to just keep getting through it. You have to have some tenacity, right? And just stick to it. You have to have some patience, or infinite amounts of patience as a parent, especially if you have toddlers at home. Mm-hmm. Right? Again, those are skills that allow you to get the job done at home and at work. And then the last P is perspective taking, right? As a parent, we're constantly multitasking, we're anticipating needs, we're kind of project managers of the home. And so those are all skills, again, really important as a parent, that you kind of do and don't realize are important or are valuable, that mm-hmm. are actually super applicable to work as well.
Mm-hmm. That's really eye-opening. And I love how you made those comparisons. Like when you said, you know, your brain is literally changing when you become a parent, and that's good in the workplace too. And that was just a really amazing way to describe those. So the four P's, they are
people skills, processing skills, productivity skills, and perspective taking.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. So is that something that you work through one-on-one? Do you really dive into those four P's, or is it just kind of like a stage that you go through with your clients?
It's more of a framework that I use to help mm-hmm. kind of parents see, both to help parents see what they bring to the table when they're maybe not feeling so good about, you know, hey, I was on maternity leave for 4 months or 6 months or maybe even longer, or I've been out of work for 3 years and I'm now just going back and I don't know what that process is going to be like, right? To kind of recognize that there was a lot of growth in those years, even mm-hmm. if they don't see it. And then I also use it when I try to work with organizations to advocate for working parents and to help organizations see why these employees are really important ones to retain and kind of the special gifts that they bring to the table.
I love it. That's amazing. So going back to the very beginning, when we talked about how you help moms feel less anxious, less guilty, and less alone, what are some, I know that you've dived into a lot of these, but just to kind of bring it full circle, what are the most kind of effective techniques, exercises that you help them achieve this transformation?
Yeah, I mean, part of it is just a lot of validation, yeah. right? That like, you know, I think I said earlier, and I say all the time, like this stuff is hard because it's hard, not because you're screwing it up, not because you're doing it wrong, not because you're a failure. And that's really, I think, important for all parents to hear, right? Your kid's not hitting you because they're a bad kid or you failed as a parent. Sometimes kids hit, right? Mm-hmm. And your kid is not sleeping because sometimes kids don't sleep. And you are feeling overwhelmed because this is really overwhelming. So just starting from that, right? Like peeling away some of the shame mm-hmm. and the guilt that shows up in parenting is usually step one. And with that, we look a lot at like, what are your models? What are you comparing yourself to? Mm-hmm. What are all the shoulds that you hold around what a good mother is supposed to be, or a good, you know, employee or whatever? And then we start looking at those values, right? So what do I actually value? How am I going to define good mothering, right? Where is that internal core? And what I find in even just that part of the process is moms a lot of times will start to recognize like, okay, when it's just me and my kid, or me and my kids or my family, I feel okay, right? They start to feel it internally first. It may be hard to hold it when they're kind of interacting with the world, when they see some other mom at drop off who seems like she's totally pulled together and her kids are always well behaved. But when they're just themselves, they can feel okay. Mm-hmm. And then we start to shift into, okay, how do I feel more confident and build on that confidence in the outside world? How do I make decisions that are aligned with that? Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of practice, right? When we do something new, we don't catch on right away. Our brains need repetition to form new neural pathways. And it's even harder when we're replacing old habits with new ones. Mm-hmm. And so I use the analogy of, you know, sledding a lot. You know, I live in Boston. We get snow a fair amount. And, you know, if you've ever watched kids sledding down a hill, if they go down the same path over and over again, there's like a path, right?
Oh, yeah.
You can see where they've been sledding and where they haven't. And if they put their sled kind of anywhere near the start of that path, the sled's just going to veer right into it. Mm-hmm. And our brains do that. They like predictability. They like habit. They want things to stay the same. So they will pull you back into these old paths. And to change them is really effortful and takes a lot of practice. You really have to kind of move the sled and wiggle it around down into that new groove and then go. And it's going to take a lot of sledding down that new path to make that the default. And it's okay that it takes time and practice. And so a lot of work eventually becomes, let's just troubleshoot. Let's work through the challenges. And get that practice, get those reps in so that you feel more confident in your parenting.
That might be one of my favorite analogies ever. I love that. And I live in Wisconsin. So we also know snow. We know snow. And that's, it's so true because you want to make that path. Like the first person to go down that hill, you're like, oh, do I really have to do it? Because you're like shoving and shoving and shoving yourself down to make that path. And then when you have it, it's just, I love that. I love that analogy. Thank you for sharing that. So as a mom of four yourself, I love your perspective. I love everything that we've talked about thus far. Just as kind of a last hurrah, what advice would you like to give to working moms who might be listening today just to feel good, to improve their well-being, that first step to manage their careers, help their health, kind of just that first step in feeling good?
Yeah. I mean, I think the first thing I would say is like, you're doing a good job, right? If you are even bothering to listen to this podcast, you care about being a mom. And if you care about being a mom, you're being a good mom. Mm-hmm. And our kids don't need perfection, right? In fact, if we were perfect people, we'd be doing them a disservice because they wouldn't know how to handle the imperfection of everybody else in the world outside their parenting experience. So you're doing a good job. And yeah, you're going to drop balls and you're going to make mistakes. And that just means you're human. It doesn't mean you're a bad mother. It doesn't mean you're a bad employee. And so that would be number one. And I think the other piece is to just to, you know, what we were talking about before, ask for help, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, emotional support or tangible support, and let yourself receive it, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Let yourself say yes to that help. Whether that is a coach or a community, right? I think coaching and community are like the two most important things. And that coach can be someone that you hire, but it could also be a, you know, a peer or a friend, someone that's kind of got your back and is supporting you. Have some sort of connection. Mm-hmm. Because if you recognize you're not alone, it feels like a much less heavy burden to carry.
Mm-hmm. We could have you on the show every week. I just love everything that you're sharing with us. Thank you so much for sharing light. Tell us more about your business now. What services do you offer? Where can people find you? And do you just serve the state that you're in? Kind of how everything works?
Yeah, no, for therapy, yes, I can only see therapy patients in the state of Massachusetts, but I can see coaching clients from all over the country and do. And so if people want to connect with me, they can find me on my website, which is www.drannwelsh.com. I do individual kind of one-on-one coaching packages, both executive coaching, you know, if it's something you want to do for your leadership skills or through your organization, or just general life coaching as a mom. I'm also launching a group starting in January for working mothers, which I'm super excited about because I love the one-on-one work. But I also think, as I was just saying, there's so much value and community and feeling like I'm not alone in doing this. And so that's another way that people can connect with me. And it'll be a group of about 10 working mothers, right? And we'll talk about a lot of the stuff we talked about today and practicing these skills, but you'll also get that kind of camaraderie and accountability that comes from being part of a group. And I think it's going to be really magical and I'm very excited about it. So again, people can find out more about that group coaching program at my website. And they can also find me on Instagram at dr.welsh.coaching. Or I'm also on LinkedIn at Dr. Ann Welsh if people are more in the LinkedIn world.
Wonderful. I will link everything in the show notes that we discussed and where to find you. And just thank you so much for just sharing your light, your insights, and just, it's such an important topic. And I feel like the takeaways that I took most is like the validation. I loved when you spoke on the validation, that just to kind of let go of that shame, that's so huge. And that's such a big piece that I feel like we hold on to. And then it just kind of becomes that habit that we always kind of revert back to. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Yay. It was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Thank you again. And until next week, mamas, as always, simply be you. You have everything inside of you to reach your breakthrough. We're sending our love and light.
Did you find this episode relatable at Papali? Please give my review.
Thank you so much for spending this sacred time with me on the Balanced Mama the podcast. I am sending you so much love and covering you in light, praying this episode has helped you in some way. And if it has, I'd be so grateful if you left a written review sharing how it's impacted your life. It truly lights me up hearing how you are on your way to your breakthrough. And also, please share this episode with another mom who may be struggling to remind her that we are never alone and to help give her that empowerment to take that first step. And be sure to check the show notes for additional ways to connect with me, our motherhood empowerment community, and if and when it feels good to you, learn how we could work together to help you reclaim your power, mama. Thank you. I appreciate all you are and all you do. Sending my love and light.